Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric, teacher with LSAT Demon. With me is Nathan Fox, co-founder of LSATdemon.com and the weekly podcast Thinking LSAT. Got an email from Duncan.
One thing about the world of law that I cannot fully seem to grasp is why there is so much pressure around which school you choose to attend. While I understand the prestige that a Stanford or Harvard or Yale carries, it seems to me that a field with such an emphasis on competence wouldn't be overly concerned with exactly where you got your degree. Okay. I mean, there's, one, how concerned with competence are they really when there are 200 ABA accredited schools and at least 100 of those schools admit people with LSAT scores and GPAs that lead to questions about competence? I mean, I just don't know that there really is that much of a competence concern. The other thing is, you know, in the pinnacles of the masters of the universe in these fields, like, if you look at like tenured law professors, or if you look at like Supreme Court justices, they come from Harvard and Stanford and Yale. So I don't know. I guess maybe Duncan isn't quite understanding the pyramid scheme that is going on in the legal world. But
I don't think that's I don't think that's exactly what Duncan is saying. He recognizes that there are a few elite institutions that carry a lot of weight, but I think the question is about kind of distinctions in the rankings once you leave.
Oh, at lower levels.
Yeah.
Well, at lower levels, I think it just comes from if you're UCLA, you love to talk about the top 14. I mean, the fact that there even is a top 14, it's like, wait, why 14? Well, because whoever was 14th in the country loves talking about T14. So if you're barely in the T14, you're going to love talking about the T14. If you're barely in the T10, you're going to love talking about the T10. T6, you're going to love talking about the T6. And the same thing happens at 20, 25, 50, even 100. Schools are like, oh, yeah, we're in the top 100 law schools in the United States. You know, it's just, oh, so you're telling me that you're 98th? Okay. I mean, that's always going to happen everywhere at every level.
Yeah.
Anyway, Duncan continues. Perhaps because I'm older, almost 41, but if someone told me that a potential employee was a better choice than another based only on the fact that one got their undergrad at Harvard and one attended Ohio State, I'd probably laugh. I've just never known anyone intelligent to actually operate this way beyond an oh wow at a dinner party.
Nate, you're a business owner. You've hired people.
Uh-huh.
Would you care? Have you ever cared where your potential workers went to school?
Yes. And I also care what their LSAT is. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I'm really blessed when I hire because I know people's LSAT score. And LSAT is not everything, but it's a very nice proxy for a lot of competencies. You know, if you show up with a 170 something LSAT, I go, okay, well, I know a lot of things about you, or just right off the bat from that one score. I also want to see you write a sentence or two. And if you have Harvard or Stanford or Yale or Princeton or some of those places on your resume, it means something. It's more like a signaling thing. It means that I know that you were a badass in high school. That's what it really means. But me knowing that you were a badass in high school, yeah, that's a feather in your cap. That means something. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but it does. Now, would I hire somebody solely on the fact, like if it's just Harvard versus Ohio State, I'm just going to hire the Harvard person? No. But if all else was equal, I could see myself leaning in that direction for sure. It doesn't mean nothing.
Yeah.
Right? It's a data point. Anyway, with a smaller school like South Texas College of Law or St. Mary's, for example, why does so much of the typical commentary mention such city-specific or market-specific job prospects? I've seen multiple comments saying things like, quote, you won't get a job in big law, but you'll be able to find a job in the Houston area. Why not big law? What am I missing? Well, I think you should dig in, Duncan, and look at the actual reports. I would look up South Texas College of Law, big law placement.
Mm-hmm.
Do they put a lot of people into big law?
It's not zero.
What is it? And how do you find that out?
So you can go to abarequireddisclosures.org, which is where you can get the expanded ABA 509 reports available Great. From each law school.
Yep.
Hit the option that says employment outcomes.
Yep.
Select the class year, select the school that you're looking for, and that'll generate a report from you. I think it's going to be a spreadsheet that you got to sift through, but it'll break down what the employment outcomes were from a given school. And that's going to separate it into things like jobs, long-term jobs requiring a JD, the quote-unquote JD advantage jobs, jobs that don't require a JD, short-term jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe within those distinctions as well, you can see
yep.
big firms, medium-sized firms,
yeah,
small
I'm looking
firms.
At the... So it makes you download a PDF for each school, but I'm looking at the Texas Southern University Thurgood Marshall School of Law. I see 103 total students, small school. I see 103 total graduates from 2022 graduates. 103 graduates. Of those, six went into firms of 500 or more lawyers. Six went into firms of 250 to 500 lawyers. Four went into schools of 100 or more, firms of 100 or more lawyers. So you're looking at 16 out of 103 that are working at firms bigger than 100 lawyers. Long story short, they have pretty skinny margin of big law employment outcomes. Now,
yeah.
Why is that the case? I don't know. I just know that it is the case.
Yeah. I'm looking at St. Mary's right now out of 165, I believe. 224 graduates from 2022. How many do you think worked at a law firm of size 501 employees plus?
Sorry, how many students?
224 graduates. How many ended up at a big law firm?
Jeez, I mean, if it has the same placement as Texas Southern, they're looking at like 6%. So yeah, I mean, I would imagine 12, 15, something like that at a bigger school.
One person,
yeah, okay. So I mean, probably not as high of a ranked school then.
Yeah, the biggest slice of the pie was law firms of 1 to 10
yeah.
employees. 65 people ended up working in that kind of a law firm. So yeah. Yeah, and those numbers will change. So again, this is all stuff that you can find for yourself. abarequireddisclosures.org, employment outcomes, bar passage outcomes, all that information's there. You can download and look at some pretty granular
yeah.
data on these different schools.
I think that this is something that we can help with, actually, because we've built some tools that help to visualize this ABA data, this public data. And I think that a big law placement tool would be maybe a project that we can work on.
For sure.
For now, it's abarequireddisclosures.org. And if you click on employment outcomes, you can get these employment outcomes reports for every school. I guess we might want to add in federal clerkships, because if you can get yourself, federal clerkships are very prestigious, unlike state local clerkships, which just aren't really as prestigious. Some of them are, I guess, but federal clerkships are always pretty prestigious. And you can add to the number of people that are working at big law firms, you can add the federal clerkships on the assumption that if you can get a federal clerkship, you probably could have gotten yourself a big law job.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at Texas Southern, you know, they had six people in firms of 500 or more lawyers, and they had one person go into a federal clerkship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if St. Mary's had any federal clerkships.
Federal
or
clerkships.
Not.
They did not.
Yeah, no federal clerkships. So, you know, I can return to Duncan's email, but the point is that the scoreboard says that not very many people at those schools go into big law. That's not to say that it's impossible. I mean, there are some people at both of those schools that did go into big law. Yeah. It's just that you're going to have to really, really excel at that school. And the reason why is because there's signaling that's going on. It's yeah. not because the quality of the education is actually worse. It's because the big firms know that if you got into Harvard, Harvard has already done some significant vetting. Or, you know, since we're talking about Texas, if you got into the University of Texas, there's some vetting going on there. You know, we know what Texas's grades look like. We know what Texas's LSAT scores look like. So if you finish like in the middle of your class in Texas at University of Texas, Texas probably has more like a 60% big law, you know, and like copious federal clerkships. And that's because the firms and the federal judges, they just know that the fact that you got into Texas means that you were a badass in undergrad. It's an easy way for them to just go. It really has nothing to do with the actual quality of the education. It has everything to do with the qualifications that it took you to get into that place in the first place.
I suspect anyway. It also has to do with law firms believing that it is good for their PR, that they can advertise to potential clients or to existing clients, hey, look at our roster of partners and associates from the top law schools in the nation.
Yeah. I want to get back to Duncan's email, though. Duncan continues and says, is it that the education itself is considered to be less than? Assuming you do well and pass the bar when it's all said and done, I would have thought that an ABA accredited JD is as valid as any other. Obviously, the last thing I would want to do, though, is get a JD that I realize in hindsight isn't really valued. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks again. I love the way you all give just straight to the point and blunt answers, especially Nathan. Oh, don't encourage me. But as a teacher, I feel like if I don't give it to you straight, then why would you believe me? So I'm going to give it to you straight if I ever can. And maybe in a perfect world, Duncan, there would not be a difference in perception between Texas University of and South Texas College of Law or St. Mary's. If they're both ABA accredited, they should be turning out people who are qualified to practice law. But the elites have lots of people trying to work for them. And so the elites, when they're trying to sort through a stack of resumes, it might just be laziness. You know, they know that if you went to University of Texas, there's a good chance that you're more qualified than the average person who went to South Texas College of Law or St. Mary's.
They're just playing the numbers.
And if you go look at that ABA website, please. I mean, I want to shout that out again. It's abarequireddisclosures.org. If you're interested in big law placement, you should definitely be looking at the public data about big law placement before you choose a law school. If you're the valedictorian, by the way, of Texas, South Texas College of Law, or if you're the valedictorian at St. Mary's, you can get yourself a big law job. Mm-hmm. But if you finish in the top 25% of South Texas College of Law or the top 25% of St. Mary's Law, you might not get a single big law interview because those schools just don't place a lot of people into big law.
All of this also matters as far as your career goals are concerned. Like, there are jobs that you might want and offices that you might be interested in working in where South Texas College of Law or St. Mary's are perfectly good.
And I think people are giving Duncan that correct advice, saying, hey, if you want to be a public defender in this county, go to South Texas College of Law, go to St. Mary's. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
If you want to work in a small firm, if you like meet the alums of South Texas College of Law, maybe you already work with alums of St. Mary's Law School. And if they're like, oh yeah, to do the type of stuff that I did, absolutely go to St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. Then it can turn out to be a great deal because you can actually get a great LSAT score and then go to those schools for free.
Yeah.
Where you might not be able to go for free at University of Texas. But if your goal is big law, then you got to think about whether these local schools are really going to get you those big law jobs, and they frequently don't.
But also, don't go into big law, please.
Not trying to talk anybody into big law. Yeah. I think it's miserable. They have a very high washout rate. They also have extraordinary rates of alcoholism, drug problems, depression, divorce. I mean, it's like there's a lot of reasons not to go into big law.
Yeah.
But if that's what you really want to do, then you need to look at the big law placement of the school that you're thinking about going to.
Thanks, Duncan. Best of luck. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.